And now, live from the Infowars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
It's a new day and a new program here at InfoWars. It's August 21st, 2017. I'm your host, David Knight, with Real News. Today, of course, is Eclipse Day, and I think it's pretty significant that this first eclipse in 99 years is going to be cutting a path coast to coast, and at the same time, we've got Google, we've got mainstream media, we've got the government trying to enact, actually by stealth, everybody knows about this eclipse that's happening today. Everybody's talking about that, but nobody is talking about, except for a few people who are affected by it, nobody is talking about the stealth fairness doctrine that they're trying to reenact. And so we're going to talk about that later in the program. Is democracy going to die in darkness, as the Washington Post would like to say? Or will the lies die in the darkness, as we say on News Wars? We've got the little rotating subtitle on our headline there at newswars.com, our new site. Will the Republic shine again? Our guests today are going to be Dr. Randy Short, Roger Stone, and Jerome Corsi. We're going to talk about the escalating civil war, the race war that we see happening here, the monumental insanity, as we've had Lionel coin that term. I have to give him credit for that. He's going to be our guest next week. Trump's new Afghanistan policy. As soon as Steve Bannon left, the generals took Trump to Camp David, and they've got a new Afghanistan policy. Is this going to be the beginning of the military-industrial White House, or in a reversal of Trump's agenda? But first, let's take a look at the news. We've got a new catastrophe for the U.S. Navy. We've got 10 sailors that have are missing and 5 are injured after the USS John McCain was involved in a collision with a 600-foot tanker on Monday morning. And this is the second time we've seen a collision in about the same number of months, in 2 months. Back in June, we had the similar collision. Military ships striking large tankers at sea. What is going on with that? That's something that is very concerning. Of course, we've also seen some other issues with some of the littoral ships that have been close to the coast. We had the massive new littoral ship that we had, and it broke down, had to be towed back to sea. What is going on with military readiness? Meanwhile, we have another possible terror attack. Certainly looks like it. One dead, one injured as a van rams a bus stop in Marseille, France. A van rammed into 2 bus stops in the French city, killing one person, injuring another. The driver of the Renault Master van was arrested at a third location. They say a man was injured at the first bus stop. A woman was killed at the second one. The 2 stops are about 3 miles apart. And as AP likes to say, motive not known. I think we have a guess as to what's going on there. Meanwhile, in the economy, we've got U.S., Canada, and Mexico talking about beginning work again on renegotiating NAFTA. And of course, Donald Trump said it's the worst trade deal ever created. And a big part of that is going to be the auto industry. Meanwhile, China is looking to buy Chrysler Fiat. They say they can't compete on a global market unless they get more money. And of course, it was a sweetheart deal that Obama handed Fiat when he gave them Chrysler. Now they're turning around that deal. Meanwhile, Tesla has become the 4th largest company, automaker, even though they only sold 76,000 cars, largest in terms of market capitalization. The capitalists love it. But one company, Morgan Stanley, is looking at this and says, Tesla's not as green as you may think. They put together a portfolio of green companies, and they said after comparing savings in carbon dioxide achieved by Tesla's high-mileage electric vehicles and including secondary and tertiary factors, they said the carbon emissions generated by the electricity required are greater than those saved by cutting out direct vehicle emissions. Nevertheless, we have European countries are moving to ban all internal combustion engines in the next 20 years. Also, we have a runoff in Alabama. We have Senator Sessions' seat up for replacement. And the good news, the establishment candidate, Luther Strange, is trailing severely behind Judge Roy Moore in that election. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Snowflakes can't handle the truth. It's your host, David Knight.
To me, jokers to the right, here I am, stuck in the middle with you. And of course, it was Steve Bannon who said those guys at the Charlottesville rally were just clowns. I would say they're all clowns. It's not just the ones on the right, of course, it's the ones on the left. That makes people furious when Donald Trump says that. But we're going to take a look at this. This is our new program. Thank you for joining us. I'm David Knight. This is Real News. This is our inaugural broadcast here, August 21st, 2017. And we thank you for joining us. We're going to be taking phone calls later in this hour. We're also going to be having Roger Stone join us later in this hour. He's going to break down some of the things that are happening in Washington. I want to ask him what he thinks is going to happen with Trump's statement tonight on Afghanistan. It looks like there may be a major policy reversal for Donald Trump after the generals who seem to be consolidating their control of the White House have come out. But I want to take a look. We're talking about I want to start with that song because, you know, we look at jokers on the left and clowns on the left of me, jokers on the right. And here we are stuck in the middle. Is that a good place to be? Do we really know where we are? How do we get out of this place where we are? We have to understand that we need a map, don't we? And the map that they have given us with the mainstream media is really kind of a one-dimensional map. And, you know, I just got back from vacation in Washington State, and we would get up into the mountains, and we wouldn't be able to get any signal. And we'd have to go back to these old-fashioned things called paper maps. And we looked at the paper maps. We didn't hold them up and look at the edge of the map like this. Okay, I'm going to look at the edge of the map. We hold it so that we can see the full two-dimensional map. And that's what we need for the political spectrum. And so I want you, before we start talking about the insanity of the social justice warriors and the rest of these people, the Ku Klux Klan, the Nazis, before we talk about that, I want you to understand where these people are. We're being told by the mainstream media that they're polar opposites of each other, and they're not. Joseph Stalin and Adolf Hitler were not polar opposites of each other. If you look at them, they were very, very similar. Let's get a different map. Instead of a single line, instead of looking at our map on the edge of the paper, let's actually take a look at this. And I think a very good device that's been created by someone named David Nolan, he was one of the founders of the Libertarian Party, gives us a two-dimensional map. And basically, if you think of a grid and you map personal freedom on one axis and you map economic freedom on the other axis. And if you take that map and you have something that's like this and you rotate it about 45 degrees, and there's a picture for those of you who are looking at it, then what you wind up with is, yes, you've got people on the left who seem to care more about personal freedom than they do economic freedom. And you got people on the right who seem to care more about economic freedom than they do personal liberty. And then in the middle, you've got all those people. But then what do you have above and below? Remember, I had Ronald Reagan talk about, let's move up towards liberty. Well, we got the libertarian quadrant up at the top if you rotate it that direction. And down at the bottom, you've got the authoritarian quadrant. And that's where you don't get any freedoms. The further down you go on that, you don't get any freedoms. And I want to tell you that the anti-fascists and the fascist Nazis are all down there at the bottom. So there really wasn't much difference between Stalin and Hitler. Stalin said that he nationalized the industries right away, and Hitler criticized him for it. He says, hey, I'm a socialist. Remember, that's what Nazis stood for, National Socialism. I'm a socialist, but I'm not going to take the industries until the very last bit. We'll leave them a little bit of a pretense of private property. That's the only difference. That and the fact that the communists like to talk about internationalism and the fascists like to talk about nationalism, but you don't get any real significant difference. When you look at it and you say, what is the definition of fascism? Well, by the dictionary, it says a forcible suppression of others. Have we seen that at these riots? Have we seen that at the speech that happened in Boston? We had 300 people, maybe, I'm not sure what the exact number of the people who braved the 40,000 people who showed up saying, let's fight the right. So he had a few brave souls come up to speak at a free speech rally, and they were resoundingly condemned and characterized as Nazis when they weren't. That was a forcible suppression of speech. Should we celebrate the fact that people were intimidated who were simply trying to speak? I don't think so. And then, of course, there's also dictatorial powers. And when I look at the way the left acts at this, I remember when we had, and you've seen the clips on the Alex Jones show, we went to protest at the abortion clinic here in Austin, and we had this sign here. This sign says, "More blacks are aborted than any other race. Black lives matter." So we had people that were there with this sign. My wife was one of those. My daughter was there. And what we had show up were these communists who showed up with nothing except black sheets to cover our signs. That's what the left does. That's what we're talking about here with eclipsing the message. And of course, you've all seen that clip. Play the audio there of the individual who says, my wife said,
right?
Here we go.
Because you adopt.
How many did I adopt? I kill my kids.
Yeah. My wife says, why don't you adopt a child? She says, I kill my kids. As a matter of fact, you know, my adopted daughter was there with my wife. She's Asian. And she's talking to her about being a great white savior. We don't see the racial difference. I don't really believe in that. I'm a Christian. I don't see a racial difference any more than I care about somebody's hair color. And yet she said, I kill my kids. She was proud of that. And that's what we see happening from the left. They just want to shut down that discussion. And so when we talk about them being clowns, actually, there was a piece on The Onion talking about the nation rallying around the Ronald McDonald statue. When you look at this monumental stupidity, as Lionel's called it, tearing down statues everywhere, The Onion did a satire piece and says, the nation rallies around the Ronald McDonald statue that embodies the country's true heritage. Now, what they didn't put in the article is the fact that, yeah, Ronald McDonald is really being taken out because clowns' image has been changed, and that's largely due to the kind of pranks that we've had, you've seen on YouTube with clowns scaring people. Also, the movie It, the Stephen King movie that's coming out, they're looking at about a $50 million opening box office for that. So that really has changed the image of clowns. We've seen Ringling Barnum and Bailey's shut down after a very long run. And so when we look at this and we look at how people can change symbols, we look at how they can change a clown from something that was funny into something that is very scary, like Stephen King did. And really, that's what we're seeing happening now. Washington Post says, Democrats say that Confederate monuments are now white supremacist rallying points. Are they really? Or are they rallying points for the Democrats who are trying to stoke a civil war? They don't want to take a look at what's really going on here. When you look at the fact that they're not only defacing Confederate monuments, but they're also attacking Lincoln's monuments. They don't seem to even understand which side was on which side. They don't understand that Grant owned slaves as well. They want to blow up Mount Rushmore. They want to take away the monuments from Gettysburg. They want to shut down. That's one of the places where they had the largest victory, where the Union had the largest victory. And they're trying to take away those monuments. The feds say, no, we're going to keep them there. Meanwhile, we have people like this black former Dallas councilwoman who said the people who want to remove these Confederate statues are cowards. And we're going to be talking to Dr. Randy Short later in the broadcast. He's from Washington, D.C. He's an African-American. He's a Harvard graduate. He understands what's going on with this. And he knows these people very well, having lived in Washington, D.C. for a long time. They're trying to criminalize this imagery. And they're even removing in Hollywood, they're taking down the monuments and cemeteries. Do you understand that if we normalize the number of people who died in the Civil War relative to the population of the South, that would be about 25 million people. Do you understand why people would want to put up monuments to commemorate something like that? The loss of their loved ones, regardless of what you think this is about. Taking down cemetery monuments. Stay with us. We're going to be right back. Welcome back to The Real News. I'm David Knight, and this is our inaugural program here, August 21st, 2017. Before we get back to the news, I want to tell you about our BuzzFeed mega specials. And, of course, we did this as a salute to those from John Oliver to BuzzFeed who are ridiculing InfoWars. And it turns out they've given us a lot of publicity. They took these products, they had them tested, and they found out, yeah, they're very good quality products. So what Alex did was he reduced the product of a wide range of things on our website to 1776. Where did we come up with that number? You know, I've got a cap that we sell here at InfoWars, 1776. And I have had about a half dozen times when I'm wearing that, somebody, typically it's a millennial, will look at me and say, have they won the latest game? I said, what are you talking about? The 76ers is like, man, I don't know who you're talking about. I don't follow sports. This is about 1776. It's an American thing, dude. They don't get it. Okay. I hope you get it. I hope you get these products because they fund our operations. Why we can launch shows like this. And it also helps your health. These are very effective products. And so $17.76 on a price of a lot of products like BrainForce Plus, Survival Shield X2, Nascent Iodine, Secret 12, that's a big discount. 55% off of those three. BrainForce, Survival Shield X2, Nascent Iodine, Secret 12, that's a 55% discount. BioTrue Selenium, 29% discount. Silver Bullet, 66% discount. It's down to $9.95. And of course, we have a lot of other products at InfoWars as part of this BuzzFeed mega special. And here's the kicker. Free shipping. All of this is for a limited time until supplies run out or until we have to save some of these supplies for people who are on auto ship. And if you're not on auto ship, think about that. If you try some of these products and try some of these that you haven't tried before as they're on this massive discount, the products that you want to keep, you can, and that you want to make part of your regular supplement regime, your health regime, you can sign up for those. You can select the interval that you want to have those products shipped to you. And if that, and we guarantee that they're going to ship, and if that order is more than $50, you'll get free shipping on your recurring order. So we have to save some of that for people, but right now we have a massive sale. And just understand that the mainstream media has become so ineffective. When we look at ABC, CBS, NBC, and CNN as well, they've become so ineffective, so phony, that the most effective thing that they have going for them are things like John Oliver and BuzzFeed and Saturday Night Live. That's part of Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. One of those rules says that ridicule is the most powerful weapon. And so that's what they're using. And they use it against people like Steve Bannon. It's one of the reasons I think they got Steve Bannon out of there. They kept putting him up as the brains behind the operation. Meanwhile, they talk about Kelly being the brains behind the operation, but that's a good thing for the mainstream media. That should tell you something about where these generals are coming from. This weekend, we had several different events supporting free speech, supporting America First, from California to Boston. And I want to take a quick look at the reaction of the press, at the reaction of our president, and what's really going on here. First of all, we'll get to the one in Boston in just a moment, but they had one in Laguna Beach. And I think it was interesting because what they did was they put up barriers to protect pedestrians. Because, you know, now they're very worried about conservatives who are having a free speech rally. They think we're going to drive cars into everybody. They didn't get concerned when they saw this happening all over Europe. But now they're concerned because it happened once in Charlottesville. And so they put up barriers in Laguna Beach. Now, the group that was there was America First. They called it the Electric Vigil for Victims of Illegals. And they put barriers there. First of all, it's the wrong group. These people are not threatening you. And secondly, they put them in the wrong place. If you want to put up barriers, if you want to put up a wall, California, you need to put it at the border. That's the whole point of that rally, is to get people to understand that. And we had an article on InfoWars about a guy who was stabbed simply because of his haircut. And look at this. This is a Colorado man. He's not a neo-Nazi, but he said he had a buzz cut on the sides and he had it long on the top. And I thought, oh no, that's my son. My son, whose birthday is today, Travis, he works here at InfoWars. And we've been trying to get him to do a different hairstyle just because aesthetically I didn't like it. But now I've got another piece of ammunition to get him to let it grow a little bit longer on the sides. He said he got out of his car, he was buying a milkshake, and some guy runs at him and says, "Are you one of these neo-Nazis?" And the guy is swinging a knife at his head. He puts his hand up. He got a slice to his hand. He had to have three stitches to close that up. He has no tattoos, no regalia, they say, that would finger him as being a fascist. It's simply his haircut. You see, if they think you're a fascist, then you're a fascist. It doesn't matter what you are. This is the kind of insanity that is being promoted by the intolerant left, the hatred, the violence that's involved there. Now, did you hear much about this on the mainstream media? Of course not. Of course they're not going to talk about that. If it was the other way around, if it was some neo-Nazi or Ku Klux Klan guy that did it to some innocent person because they thought they were an anti-fascist, then it would have been all over the news. But they don't report this particular one. Meanwhile, when we look at what happened in Boston, we had a small group of people meeting to promote free speech. And in response, there was a crowd of 40,000, and they called it Fight the Right. Now, Joe Biggs, who used to work here, was one of the speakers there. We also had someone that I've interviewed in the past, Shiva Ayyadurai, I think is the way I pronounce it. I interviewed him back in January. I can't recall how to pronounce his name. But he's running for Senate in Massachusetts as a Republican. He wants to run against Elizabeth Warren. He spoke there. And this guy is... He's got four PhDs. He's a Harvard or MIT graduate. He's actually got a patent on email. He's the one who first used the term email. And he was speaking there, and he said, and he's being opposed by a group of people who are Indians because they're concerned. He's an Indian national, and they're very upset that he even spoke about this. While we have him speaking there, and I've got a quote of his here of what he had to say, he said, "All of us here, in many ways, are true patriots, because in spite of that noise out there, the 40,000 people who wanted to murder them, they had to be protected by the police, they were going to have a two-hour rally, they had to cut it short to about 50 minutes, the police said, come on, let's get out of here, put them in a van, and had to take them out. Meanwhile, they had about 33 people arrested, they were throwing bottles of urine at the police. These are the protesters that we want to embrace, that we want to compliment." But Shiva said, "All of us here in many ways are true patriots because in spite of that noise out there, we're here to stand up for something very fundamental, which is called free speech." And the ACLU used to always protect that. As a matter of fact, I have a problem with the ACLU because they will always go for protecting the Nazis at the rallies, protecting the Nazis that want to march through a Jewish community in Illinois. But they would never stand with us as a third party to protect our free speech after we went through the extra steps that the left and the right, the Republicans and the Democrats, never had to go through. When we would get through as a third party, they would never stand for our right to free speech to be in a debate. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
In Texas, it's David Knight.
All right, thank you for joining us. This is our inaugural broadcast of Real News. I'm David Knight, and it's August the 21st, 2017. We've got one more segment. Roger Stone is going to be joining us. We're going to be taking your phone calls in the next hour. I'm going to give out that number in a little bit, but I want to spend a little bit more time with what happened this weekend. And, of course, we saw the headlines from ABC News about Boston. Dozens arrested. Few injured as 40,000 protesters descend on Boston. They were protesting a small free speech rally that was attended ultimately only by a couple of hundred people, mainly because they had 40,000 violent protesters. See that right there? See that clip? We've got this person chasing this woman with the American flag and, of course, dragging them. We see pictures that have been put out on Twitter of people holding sticks, the Antifa protesters, the peaceful Antifa protesters, who are the counter-protesters to free speech. let's just put it that way, okay? The fascist dictators that call themselves anti-fascists who are protesting. And some of them have sticks, and you can see the close-ups of them with a nail in them so they can hit horses. I actually did that to a police horse. They can also hit individuals. And there they are dragging a woman who was waving an American flag, taking away her flag. She didn't want to let go of it, so they just drug her there. Those are the peaceful protesters that we see. And, of course, they like to cover for it on ABC News. They say, well, just a few people were injured. And we had 33 people arrested who were attacking the police, attacking protesters, throwing bottles of urine at the police. And yet, Donald Trump has been intimidated enough by all of the people attacking him when he said, hey, there's bad people on both sides and there's good people on both sides. Let's not just taint everybody in one broad brush. So he came out after this rally and he said, I want to applaud the many protesters in Boston who are speaking out against bigotry and hate. Well, I don't think it's bigotry and hate to talk about the First Amendment. I think it's bigotry and hate to attack the people who are talking about the First Amendment. As I mentioned before, the candidate for Senate in Massachusetts, Shiva Ayyadurai, and he was talking about the fact that we are here, he said to the people there, he said, we're here to stand up for something that is very fundamental. It's called free speech. So then the Indian American Coalition says, well, he had a complicit endorsement of Nazi hate speech. No, he didn't. There weren't any Nazis there. There wasn't any hate speech there. The only hate speech was what the 40,000 protesters were doing as they were chanting. You're not going to be able to appease these people, President Trump. You're just not going to be able to appease them. And here's an example of this. We got a clip. Let's play clip four. MSNBC saying, a guest on there saying, you still have actual Nazis in the White House. Let's play that clip.
I think as many have pointed out, this is still a white supremacist house. You still have actual Nazis in the house. You have Jeff Sessions, who's a longtime antagonist against civil rights. And you have policies that back up these ideas in practice. And so what Bannon is probably going to do when he leaves is just support this aspect of Trump's agenda from the outside, which can be actually, I think, more dangerous and more harmful than having him in the White House where he was, you know, as was mentioned, somewhat contained.
Yeah, he is going to be a lot more dangerous outside the White House, but he is not a Nazi. And he's somebody who I think when he had his interview where he called up the reporter and they said he was absolutely gleeful about that. I think it's because he had escaped the chain of command. And let's talk, that's actual chains coming out from the commands that are being enacted by General Kelly. You know, there's a certain kind of person who thrives in a bureaucracy. And there's another kind of person who thrives as an entrepreneur. And unfortunately, Steve Bannon and President Trump are the kinds of people who like to get things done. They're used to getting things done. They're used to being able to have the freedom to get things done. They're not used to operating under the chains of a bureaucratic command. And that's a big part of the problem that's happening here. And I think Steve Bannon is going to be a lot more effective outside of the White House. That's why a lot of people will always say, whenever they like what you're doing, they say, you should run for office or whatever. And he's like, that is not necessarily the way to get things done. Yes, we do need to have good people in office. But understand that that reflects a certain mentality that I'm afraid has been absorbed even by people on the right who like to support freedom. There used to be a time when we'd say, hey, it's a free country, isn't it? Or we would say, don't make a federal case out of it. Now we think, even as small government conservatives, we think that the only way to make an effective change is to go to Washington. Maybe what we could do is cut Washington off. Maybe Washington is so entrenched that you're not ever going to be able to change it. You're not ever going to be able to drain the swamp unless you get the money and the power out of Washington. That's why it's corrupt. And the more power we give to these people, or in the case of, let's just take Obamacare, for example. If we're going to say that we're going to use the Department of Health and Human Services, and we're going to use the secretary there as a health czar, and he's going to issue executive orders and dictates to fine-tune this in a way that is more palatable to people, but still leave in that infrastructure that is unconstitutional, we've lost. We've lost. The federal government should have no say in our health care. The federal government should have no say in our education. Ronald Reagan was going to get rid of the Department of Education. It had just been created by Jimmy Carter. It was less than 4 years old. He could have strangled Rosemary's baby in the cradle. Instead, he nurtured it, and it grew into adulthood under his 8 years. We have to not leave these structures of tyranny there. We have to understand that the old idea that's put out there, Schoolhouse Rock, I'm a bill on Capitol Hill and so forth, and then I become a law. So that's not the way things work. When Nancy Pelosi said about Obamacare, we'll have to pass it to find out what's in it, she was actually being very truthful, very candid with us for a change. Because what happens is they create these massive bureaucracies, and then the bureaucracies write the laws. They write the regulations. And when they write regulations and you violate those regulations, and they're the ones who decide if you violate their regulations, you don't have the protections of the Sixth Amendment. They can give you excessive fines. You are guilty. You have to prove your innocence. We've seen this with the IRS. Now we see it with all of these different agencies. And speaking of Nancy Pelosi, she's got a wish list of statues that she wants out of the Capitol, out of Washington, D.C., but out of the Capitol building. She's got 10 of them. And when you go down this list, this is something that WND had. When you go down the list, it's actually pretty funny because WND lists Jefferson Davis, a Democrat from Mississippi, Alexander Stevens, a Democrat from Georgia, and so on. All 10 of them, with the exception of one, were Democrats. And the one exception was Robert E. Lee, who never had any political affiliation. And he didn't want to be monumentalized as well because he wanted to allow this to heal. It's interesting to me that we have the Nazis like George Soros, the Nazi collaborator who is now funding these AstroTurf organizations, the crowds that he's renting to run out and create these riots here, just as he's done in other countries with his color revolutions. And then, of course, we have Arnold Schwarzenegger, the guy who reportedly marched around to Nazi music and his hand up in the air. These guys are calling other people Nazis. And the anti-fascists who are really fascists are calling other people fascists. I want to, before I leave this topic, I want to give you one more quote from the mayor of Alexandria, Virginia. And the headline from Yahoo News says, "Far-right protests leave U.S. cities scrambling to balance safety and free speech." We always have our liberty being balanced against safety, don't we? But let me tell you something. Liberty is always dangerous, but it's the safest thing we have. You want to get rid of your liberty? To the extent that you get rid of your liberty, you become a slave. And she says, "Certainly we recognize everyone's First Amendment right to freedom of speech." Oh yeah, right. "But we're also dedicated to freedom from fear." Freedom from fear? You want to get over your fear? Embrace liberty. It's dangerous, but it's the best thing we have. Stay with us. We'll be right back. To the Real News with David Knight and our O Dark 30 crew. You know, every day, it's kind of interesting that this would start on the day that we're going to have a total eclipse from coast to coast, because our O Dark 30 is going to be getting up, our crew is going to be getting up every day, like it's a solar eclipse, but we're happy to do it. And of course, that's Jen, Joe, and Julian, all of our J's, Dan, and that's me, David. Our two D's are part of your crew, and we're glad to do that for you. One of the things that we like to, that we depend on here, besides Brain Force, is Wake Up America. And of course, if you're listening to this morning show, this is what you need to wake up, in addition to our Real News program every morning. Of course, it starts at 9 o'clock on the East Coast, but on the West Coast, we're going to be starting at 6 o'clock in the morning. So those of you who are listening live, make a cup of Wake Up America Patriot Blend. We sell this at InfoWars, and I tell you, this is fantastic coffee. And get some Brain Force, which is on sale right now. We have the BuzzFeed sale that Alex put in response to the ridicule that we're getting from BuzzFeed and John Oliver and Saturday Night Live and all these comedians now, because the regular news, as I mentioned before, is so ineffective. They're resorting to satire and to ridicule, to attack us, to attack President Trump. And so when they got our products and they took them down to show that they were not effective, they found, well, gee, these things are actually really good products. And so we've put them on special. We put them down to $17.76. So that's massive discount, a lot of these products. We have BrainForce Plus, 55% off. That's another thing that goes really good if, in the morning. If you want to get something that doesn't leave you jittery, like sometimes coffee can, BrainForce helps you to concentrate. It is absolutely my favorite supplement that we sell here. It is very effective in terms of helping recall. Also, Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine, 55% off. Secret 12, that's our B12 supplement, 55% off. Also, BioTru Selenium, 29% off. Silver Bullet, 66% off. It's down to $9.95. And, of course, we have some other products that are not simply $17.76 that have massive discounts. We have Caveman and either chocolate or strawberry, 30% off. Myco ZX, 46% off, and everything is free shipping. All this for a limited time only. This is our BuzzFeed Mega Special. I want to get back to the news. We're going to be talking to Roger Stone when he joins us about Trump's announcement today. Of course, it's interesting when McMaster took the reins at the National Security Council, immediately Steve Bannon was off, and immediately something else happened. We had a purported gas attack in Syria. And we had seen the same thing happen 4 years ago. At the time, InfoWars took the lead in getting people to take a look at this and to question what we were being told by the mainstream media. And we had a lot of people say, we're not going to be Al-Qaeda's Air Force. I think it was Ron Paul who said that, but we had a lot of people in the military holding up signs as they did the investigation. What they found was that it was not something that was done by the government that was there. It was something that looked like a homemade chemical weapon attack. But this time around, we did not have an investigation. The day that Bannon was taken off the National Security Council, immediately they had missiles that were fired in response to that. Now, on Friday, we had Bannon leave the White House, leave the administration completely. The generals took, and the rest of the cabinet took Donald Trump to Camp David to talk about Afghanistan strategy. Remember, Bannon was the chief strategist for Donald Trump. He was with him on the America First agenda. But with Bannon gone and Trump alone, we had the generals say, we had Mattis say, well, Trump had a different idea coming in, and now he's changed his position. We're going to find out tonight in a live press conference exactly what that's going to be. Of course, everybody is expecting that to be an escalation on this 16-year war. Think about that a little bit. We start these wars, and they're such a low level, and we don't have the draft anymore, that people forget that we have these wars that are lasting 16 years. We had Obama be our first president to be at war the entire time, and of course, it wasn't just Afghanistan. He was at war with several countries. And then when Donald Trump said, well, if these countries are dangerous enough that we need to be at war with them, maybe we should have some extreme vetting on the people who are coming into our country from those countries. And they went hysterical about that. That was what the so-called Trump Muslim ban was about. So they don't have a problem bombing Muslims. They have a problem if we vet Muslims who are coming into this country. So now we have the Afghanistan war that's been going on for 16 years. As a result of that, we've had bumper crops as the U.S. went to Afghanistan, bumper crops and opium. It was less than 10% in the Taliban, and now we've been having record crops coming out of Afghanistan, now supplying well over 90% of the world's supply of opium. And guess what? We have an opioid crisis here in the United States. Who would have thought? Who would have thought? And of course, we all know the CIA's history of funding wars with drugs. We saw that happen. It was exposed by the journalist, Gary, I forget his last name now, Gary Webb, I think, in Dark Alliance. He exposed what happened in Central America, how they funded that war with a crack cocaine epidemic. Now we have an Afghanistan war, and guess what we've got now coming at us? We've got an opioid epidemic here in America. Painkillers. Things that could be replaced, and people have tried to get them replaced, that the VA substituting medical marijuana in the states where that is legal. Not addictive, like the opioids that are being prescribed, that are being created by the big pharmaceutical companies. But that's been shot down because we have Attorney General Sessions, who wants to keep going down this path of the drug war. Yeah, drug war takes on a whole new meaning, doesn't it, when you look at what's going on in Afghanistan. But it's not just that. It's also the rare earth minerals. It's also the lithium. We're talking about Tesla being the fourth largest automaker in the world in terms of market capitalization, not in terms of cars that they shipped. They only shipped 76,000 cars, but Wall Street loves them. They see that as the future. And part of that is going to be lithium for the batteries for all these electric cars, which are powered, by the way, by fossil fuels, because that's still what runs our grid, because you cannot run the grid off of renewable energy sources. Renewable energy sources are great for your own individual use, and that's a great thing, to be off of the grid. That's a very important thing. So, yeah, get solar power, get yourself off the grid, get yourself off of that dependency. But for the people who are on the grid, for the people who are using electric cars, for the factories that are running out there, they have to have precise delivery of power. And that means that they have to have fossil fuels. You cannot depend on solar power. You cannot depend on wind power to deliver steady state power down the grid. And so when I was back in North Carolina, I worked with an organization that was talking about energy freedom. And one of the speakers loved to ask the question when he gave a public speech. He would ask people, what is your favorite source of energy? And he would always get somebody who would say, electricity. Electricity is not a power source. It is an end product. It's only a power source for you, the consumer, to plug into. But getting back to Afghanistan, they're there because of the mineral resources. They're there because of the drugs. And they're going to stay there. We've been told long ago that they were going to stay in Afghanistan for 20 years or more, at a minimum. And we have to ask ourselves, is this really serving America's interest? Is this really putting America first? Donald Trump said no when he was running as president. But then the generals took him to Camp David, and now I think he's going to say yes. We're going to have an increase in troops there. They think they can win this. And let me ask you something. Has the American government ever won a counterinsurgency? No, they haven't. H.R. McMaster thinks that he can. H.R. McMaster wrote a book called Dereliction of Duty, and that's very famous in military circles. And in that book, he talked about, he basically did an after-action report of Vietnam, and he said, this is what went wrong in Vietnam. He said it wasn't just a political situation. He said it was also the fact that the generals did not impress upon the civilian leadership what they should do. Now we have three generals that are White House Chief of Staff, and a general who is head of the Defense Department. That's always been a civilian position. And one who is head of the National Security Council. And believe me, they are going to be putting a great deal of pressure on Donald Trump. What should you do about it? I look at it as going down the river in a canoe. And we got these three generals paddling on one side. We got Donald Trump sitting in the back, steering it with a paddle. And are you paddling on the other side to keep this thing going the direction that Donald Trump wants? You need to support him by opposing the militarization of these generals. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
It's David Knight.
Welcome back to Real News. I'm David Knight, and this is our inaugural broadcast. It's August 21st, 2017, Eclipse Day. We're going to be talking about that in just a moment. I think it's very appropriate, as I said before, we get up very early, our O Dark 30 crew here, and we're glad to do it. But also, we see that as we're looking at the attempts by Google and others to create firewalls around different YouTube channels to take down some of the channels completely, to demonetize others, to say that even if we're not violating their rules, that they're still going to basically cut off people's ability to find content. They're going to cut off comments. They're going to cut off likes. That is a very dangerous situation. And we need to understand that what Google is a natural monopoly. If they can tell bakers and photographers who have a lot of competition in each city that they must photograph or work with a homosexual wedding, even if it is against their religion, and they don't want to do that because they feel that it gets them involved in the ceremony. No, no, no. They don't have the right of conscience. They don't have the right to make that decision because they're business. Well, that should apply in spades to a monopoly like Google or like Facebook that are shutting content down. Those people truly are a monopoly. You don't have another Google or Facebook to go to. They have a very unique position here. And if you're going to tell small businesses that they must not discriminate based on their religious beliefs, then we have to tell these mega corporations that they cannot discriminate on their political beliefs. There is no exclusion for free speech because you don't agree with somebody politically that you can shut them down. And these people really do have a monopoly. Now, there's a petition we have at InfoWars.com, Paul Joseph Watson's story. There is a petition to declare Antifa a terrorist organization. It has now neared 150,000 signatures in just 4 days. And here's what the petition says. It says, terrorism is defined as the use of violence and intimidation in pursuit of political aims. So this definition is the same definition used to declare ISIS and other groups as terrorist organizations. Antifa has earned this title due to its violent actions in multiple cities and their influence in the killings of multiple police officers throughout the United States. It is time for the Pentagon to be consistent in its actions. Just as they are rightfully declared ISIS a terror group, they must declare Antifa a terrorist group on the grounds of principle, integrity, morality, and safety. And by the very definition of terrorism, I would add. That petition now has enough signatures. You only need 100,000 to warrant an official response from the White House. It now has 150,000 and climbing quickly in just 4 days. Now, it'd be interesting to see what happens with this. Maybe we should have another petition for H.R. McMaster to get him to recognize radical Islamic terrorism. He refuses to use that word. And if you use that word, you're going to be shoved out of the White House. And we'll talk about McMaster and his softness on radical Islamic terrorism when we come back. But I want to cover a little bit of the news today. And of course, we're following the story, the tragic collision, a second one in just 2 months. We've had another U.S. naval vessel hit another cargo ship. Both of these have happened in the Pacific. This collision now has resulted in 10 sailors who are missing, 5 who were injured. This was USS John McCain that was involved in a collision with a 600-foot oil tanker that happened on Monday morning. Both of these ships that were involved in these collisions are part of the Navy's 7th Fleet. So we're watching that, as well as the supposed terror attack in Marseille, France. One dead, one injured, as a van rams multiple bus stops. But AP says, we don't know what's behind that. We're not really sure. We even had NPR say, after this Barcelona attack, they said, we're looking everywhere for the guy who did this, but we still don't know what his motive is. We know what his motive is. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Making sense common again. It's your host, David Knight.
Welcome back to The Real News. I'm David Knight. This is our inaugural broadcast, August 21st, 2017. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for supporting InfoWars. Those of you who buy the products that we sell, that's what makes this possible. And of course, we're going to be expanding not only with this broadcast, but there will be another one that will be coming up in 2 weeks that will be launching. That will be in the afternoon. That will be with Owen Schroyer and with Roger Stone and Mike Cernovich, along with others. That will be called The War Room. That's going to be launching in 2 weeks. We're talking about H.R. McMaster in terms of what is happening in the White House. And, of course, there's going to be a big announcement tonight. Donald Trump is going to ask Americans to trust him on Afghanistan. And I think it's significant that this change in foreign policy was crafted Friday as Bannon was leaving the White House, crafted at Camp David by the generals who took Trump under their wing. And I want to talk a little bit about that. We had Mattis in comments over the weekend. And, of course, he's the U.S. Defense Secretary, a general, and they waive the requirements of how long you have to be out of the service to take that civilian office for General Mattis. But he said that and this I thought was very interesting, what he said about Donald Trump and the Camp David meeting. He said, Donald Trump, he said he really came in with a very different course of action. Yeah, he did. He campaigned on exactly the opposite thing. He said, we've been here for too long. We've seen in Afghanistan devour other empires. And if we stay there forever, it's going to be a big part of devouring the American empire as well. Nobody has ever won a war in Afghanistan. And combine that with the fact that the American government has never won a war of counterinsurgency. But H.R. McMaster thinks he's got it all figured out. He thinks he figured out what happened in Vietnam. He wrote a book about it, and he thinks that this is going to be their second chance to actually win this one. I don't agree. But this is what Mattis said. He, that is Donald Trump, really did come in with a very different course of action. And I think he now needs the weekend to collect his thoughts about how he's going to explain it to the American people. So they gave him the policy, and he's going to have to figure out how to sell it to us. Interesting. Very interesting. And I think it's also interesting if we go back and recall that back in January, when Kelly was still the Secretary of Homeland Security, it was AP that said, and we reported at the time, that Kelly and Mattis agreed, and this was before McMaster joined them, but those two generals agreed in the earliest weeks of Trump's presidency that one of them should remain in the United States at all times to keep tab on the orders that were rapidly emerging from the White House. In other words, Donald Trump was getting things done. He was doing things by executive order, basically undoing executive orders that Barack Obama had put in because Barack Obama did not want to follow the Constitution. And we saw this on issue after issue. He said, well, you know, beginning of his administration, I can't just go out there and do this. You know, we have a Constitution. It's got to be passed by Congress and so forth. Well, Congress wouldn't fund Obamacare. He'd just steal money out of the Fannie and Freddie investors' accounts because they had become profitable. The federal government took them over after the collapse of 2008, but then they became profitable. So then he had a pool of money, and he quietly stole that. The Congress didn't appropriate that money, and the Congress sued the Obama administration in court and said, you can't take this money. You can't fund yourself. The money has to be appropriated by Congress. Congress always has to appropriate the money. They took it to a court. The judge said, yeah, under the Constitution, that's what it says. It's pretty clear. And so the Obama Justice Department appealed that judge's decision. And it could be stopped by Attorney General Sessions just to stop the appeal. That would stop the funding of the subsidies that are being subsidized by stealing money from people who have saved and invested in this. And it's not just the big Wall Street bankers. As I've said before, it's a lot of small investors. A lot of people, like my dad when he was alive, would put money in Fannie and Freddie because he saw it as a safe investment. It was a mortgage pool, and it was backed by the federal government. So a lot of people put their money in that for the retirement plan. Theft is wrong. Getting around the Constitution is wrong. Barack Obama would go in and say, well, I don't want to wait for Congress, so I'm just going to do this by executive order. So there was a lot of things that Donald Trump could do by just undoing the unconstitutional executive orders that Barack Obama had done. But now we had these two generals, Mattis and Kelly. We got to babysit him. We got to control him. And now they've got a third. And they're working very effectively to turn this around. Now, this was sold by Axios saying that the generals and the New Yorkers have Donald Trump's back. The Republican congressional leaders, not so much. We can't really make a case that Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell are supporting Trump's agenda. Certainly not True, but they tried to make the case that the generals and the New Yorkers, as they called him, were helping him. Now, let's understand who the New Yorkers are. The New Yorkers are Democrat bankers like Gary Coleman. They're Goldman Sachs bankers, but they call them New Yorkers. And they say the generals, and they had his back because they're going to keep him from doing what they consider to be stupid things. You don't hear anybody complaining about the fact in the mainstream media that these generals are controlling Donald Trump. They're just not complaining about that. Why? Because they're controlling him in a way that the mainstream media wants. And I want to give out this phone number because I want to take some of your calls here before I continue with this. I was going to give it out in the last segment. If you want to call on the show and talk, we'd love to have you join us on our first show. The number is 888-201-2244. Again, that number is 888-201-2244. If you want to call in with some comments. Now, along that line, I thought it was interesting the way Tucker Carlson phrased it this weekend when we talked about Bannon. He said he is one of the few people in the Trump White House who wouldn't feel at home working for Hillary Clinton. I think that's a perfect way to put it. The way I put it out on Twitter, I said, is there anybody in the Trump administration and cabinet left that even voted for him? Or are there only never Trumpers there? Now, I understand that Donald Trump was trying to make peace with the establishment Republicans. He's even trying to make peace with some of the Democrats, bringing in these people. He looked at expertise instead of looking at their political agenda. I think that now that is a very dangerous situation because they are looking at this and they understand that even though supporters of Trump will say, well, you want to keep your friends close, but you want to keep your enemies closer. Does he have any friends? Does he have any close friends in the White House left? Does he have any friends of his agenda, the agenda that you and I voted for? We are his friends. We're on the outside, and we're going to have to put pressure on this Trump administration that is filled now with people who were never Trumpers, people who would have been perfectly at home in the Hillary Clinton White House. And this is what Tucker Carlson said. He said the White House will be a much more placid place now that Bannon is gone. Question is, will it be a better place? Bannon is one of the relatively few senior staff in the White House who wouldn't feel at home in a Hillary Clinton administration. He said Steve Bannon never forgot why Trump got elected in the first place. And what he talks about is the whiteboard that we saw pictured in pictures of the White House, a whiteboard that had a list of the campaign promises that were made by the Trump campaign. And things that, of course, Bannon joined the campaign after it was well underway. I don't know if he was taking credit for it or not, but certainly we know that Donald Trump had the border issue. He had the trade issue. He was talking about the trade issue back in the 90s. And that was one of the things for me that was very important to see that Donald Trump had been talking about this very issue going back to when we had NAFTA, saying it was a very bad deal, that we shouldn't be doing these types of things. So when you look at that, you understand that this was something that he really understood, that he really cared about, that he was authentic on. And so the agenda that was there wasn't an agenda that was created by Bannon, but Bannon was there to help him implement that agenda. The generals that we have now in the Trump White House are there to make sure that agenda does not get done. And we got H.R. McMaster endorsing a book that calls jihad peaceful, that calls al-Qaeda terrorism resistance. And H.R. McMaster cannot use the term radical Islamic terror, just like Hillary Clinton. Stay with us. We'll be right back with your phone calls. That number is 888-201-2244. Welcome back to The Real News. I'm David Knight. This is our first program. We're about to go to our first caller. If you want to call in, that number, and it's a different number than we typically use on Alex's radio show, it's 888-201-2244. That's 888-201-2244. Let's go to our first caller, Jason in Florida. You want to talk about the alt-right label. Go ahead.
David Knight, I just want to say congratulations on the new show, and that's a perfect name, Real News, for you.
Well, thank
that's
you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
No problem. First of all, I just want to start out by saying I started out my own page on Facebook. It's called Not Alt-Right, Just right. Basically talking about us being on the right side of history, not actually being labeled as right or left since we're just Americans. It's under Chico Alex Jones. I do rants and stuff. MAGA rants, I call them. So if anybody wants to add me, go ahead. I just want to say that first.
Good, good. Yeah, give that one more time. You said it's not alt-right.
Yeah, not alt-right, just right.
Good, good. And that's a key thing, too, because, you know, I think when we let people label us, and this is a label, alt-right is something like assault rifle. What does that mean? We don't have a good definition of those things. There's not a clear definition. We know what a fascist is. Fascism has been around for a long time. And as I pointed out before, the Antifa people, the people who are supposed to be anti-fascist, they have all the characteristics of fascists. They have the characteristics of terrorists as well.
Backwards and the opposite of reality, just like the devil. Everything's backwards from anything that God wants. The devil wants the opposite. So that's what these people are. And who else is so devilish as of Hillary Clinton to give us that label of alt-right, come out and say that speech against Alex? And you know what? We see the truth. We see what's going on. We see the lies. And I just want to say, we're not alt-right. Don't let them label you like that, because they're going to tie us. You guys already been talking about it. They're going to tie us to these terrorist groups and to white supremacist groups like KKK. I truly don't believe that actual KKK was out there. I do think that they were probably paid to go out there. I did see some pictures online where there was actual men with KKK outfits, and you can tell they were black males. I don't know if that was from this weekend, but
interesting.
I was saying,
we've known for a long time, and it came out at Elohim City, and the infiltration of these groups by the feds. And so the people that are in these groups are either people who are patsies or people who are running it like the feds. And they just ran an operation in Oklahoma again that came out about the same time, and they put together a terror plot, and they had a phony bomb, and they gave the remote control to a guy, and he said, well, I want to do it at night because I don't want to hurt anybody or whatever. But he puts this car bomb that he thought to blow up a federal building, just like they did with Oklahoma City. But as Judge Napolitano has pointed out, all these terror activities that the FBI intercepts, they're the ones who planned it. They created it. They found a patsy to do it. And then when the guy sits there and pushes the button, they then arrest him and pat themselves on the back for catching this. And that's the thing. But when you go back to these labels that you're talking about, that's the tactic of the left. The left always uses language, and they redefine language, they apply labels to win the argument. And that's the thing that we cannot let them do to us. And when we look at the Ku Klux Klan, for example, that you mentioned, look at the symbols that are there. And of course, it was Nikki Haley who kicked all this stuff off. And now we've got Democrats who are saying we need to ban any symbols of the Confederacy, just like the Germans banned any symbols of Nazism. Well, it was when they put these symbols out there, it's just like the guy that had the haircut that was short on the side and long on the top. That is simply a look that somebody has picked up. And when they have the Confederate battle flag and say that we are Nazis if we put up a Confederate battle flag, that's, to me, not understanding what happened in history, just like the Ku Klux Klan has taken a cross and they use the Christian symbol to burn crosses on people's lawns. That's not Christianity.
Black lives also died under that Confederate flag. And how are you going to spit on their memorials? And people, either way, history is ugly. But you know what? We're the closest thing to perfect. You know, we're not perfect, neither is Trump, but we know what we want, and we know the path that we need to go, and they're on an anti-humanity path. And back to labels, we call them liberals, they're the fake liberals. We need to start a post, a meme that says they're fake liberals, they're the fake liberals. Just like they're fake news, they're fake liberals.
That's
what they are.
Right.
We're the real liberals. We're the ones that want liberty. We're the ones that want true justice. Why isn't Hillary indicted yet? Why isn't Comey indicted yet? What is Jeff Sessions doing? What is he doing? Trump is under attack, and Alex is on fire. He's got everybody else on fire, and you know what? We see what's going on, and something's going on with Jeff Sessions. Do we have to start a petition? What's going on?
Yeah, exactly. And you talk about liberal. That was something that originally, as you pointed out, that meant somebody who was for liberty, and they co-opted that phrase, and they took that over because they liked it. And that's what the left does. They use the language in the way that they want it, in the same way that the Ku Klux Klan co-opted the symbol of the cross. They co-opted the battle flag of the Confederacy and so forth. That when we look at that and we have a discussion about what happened in history, and I think that it's very important for people to understand that many people who look at that and they say heritage and not hate, what they understand is that there were a lot of people who fought because they had been invaded. There was a libertarian, Lysander Spooner, who lived in the Northeast. He was an ardent abolitionist. He was against slavery. But when Lincoln raised an army of 75,000 people to invade the South, when they were exercising their right to secede, if there's no right to secession, and I support the Cal Exit people, I'm going to try to get some of them on to talk to them about this, because I think what we see happening with the responses to Cal Exit is what we saw with the Civil War. The country, the different regions had grown apart. And you get situations where the country gets too large to be governed by one organization. It gets diverse, and it's the organization that is governing it is too far away politically, too far away geographically. People want to have government closer to them. That is a right of self-government. That's what the Declaration of Independence was about. Our country was founded on the principles of secession and self-governance. And there were a lot of reasons for the Civil War. And, of course, slavery was a big part of it. It was a big part of the economy, but even bigger part of the economy was the trade issues. And that was something that they were very upset about. Even if they had slaves to grow the cotton, they weren't going to be able to sell it if they had protectionist trade policies. So it's a very complicated system, situation that we had in history. We want to think that everything is very simple. We want to think that everybody is is either all good or all bad. And it's just not that simple. There's going to be bad, dark areas in everybody.
It's too complex. We need to, that's the thing about red-pilling people, and that's why I started my page, because, you know, I sit back and say, you know, I don't want to get black-bagged and taken out at 3 a.m., you know, in the middle of the night, you know, without due process.
Right.
But you know
that's
what? Right. It's time to stand up and say something. This is not politics anymore. It's self-defense.
Yes, yes, I agree. Yeah, as I say, you know, if you're not interested in politics, politics is still interested in you. Thank you so much, sir. Jason, and thank you for what you're doing, Jason from Florida. Let's go to Julian in Texas. Julian, go ahead. Thank you for joining us.
Good night. Yeah,
hey.
Thanks. I'm glad you got your show.
Thank you so much.
I wanted to talk about, you know, the veterans, intelligence professionals for sanity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure y'all talked about it, you know, just a few weeks back. They came out and said this whole Russiagate was a fraud, that they didn't have, Russia didn't hack into the DNC, but that it was an internal leak. Okay, maybe Seth Rich, I'm not sure about that, but that's all leaning toward that. And then, you know, that had gotten to the Nation magazine. Patrick Lawrence, the guy wrote, he's
all right, we're out of time. We're out of time. If you want to hang on, we'll come back to you after the interview. We've got a caller that's coming. We're going to have Dr. Randy Short is going to join us to talk about what we were just talking to with the last caller, and that is the phony Civil War. We had a revolution 100 years ago. We're going to have another one. Stay with us.
In a world of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, your host, David Knight.
Welcome back to Real News. I'm David Knight. This is our inaugural broadcast. And joining us now is Dr. Randy Short. Dr. Short is a writer, historian, researcher, social media, social justice worker, social action minister. He has lectured and taught history as associate professor of history. He's taught American, African-American, world, religious, and social history courses. And so he's going to join us now, talk about the monumental stupidity, to put it in the words of Lionel, who said it, we've moved from a metaphor to literalism in terms of monumental stupidity. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Short.
Thank you, David Knight. First of all, congratulations. We love,
thank you.
We love your journalism. Mm-hmm. We love your professionalism.
You.
That's coming from me. That's coming from Larry Pinkney in Minnesota, the Black Panther. It's coming from my friend Paul McKinley, head of The Voice, the formerly incarcerated in Chicago, who struggles against Black Lives Matter. That's coming from Azili Danto, who's a leader in the Haitian community as well. This is the day of the eclipse. It is the day of the start of the Haitian Revolution. It is the anniversary of Nat Turner's revolt, was fighting against slavery. It's interesting. By the way, an ancestor of mine, but then again, I want to just say, God bless InfoWars, God bless America. And I voted for Trump. I didn't vote for Ryan. I didn't vote for Tillerson. And I definitely didn't vote for Nancy Pelosi or Hillary. and I support our president. He doesn't have to be perfect. My own father and mother aren't perfect, but they're my parents. He's my president. I'm proud of him, and I'm sticking with him. At one point, I didn't always support Trump, but I prayed about it like I'll tell anyone and realized this is who our president's going to be, and we've got to help him. So if you don't like Trump, I'm a Christian. You pray for people. You don't destroy property. You don't promote terrorism or racism. And you don't go around pretending or saying, well, because I'm the descendant of people who've been enslaved, I have to be nasty to people who are white. That's ridiculous. It's stupid. It's counterproductive. Now,
absolutely. And as you pointed out, as a Christian, it's our duty to pray for our leaders.
Yes.
And I think it's very important that you mentioned about how Donald Trump is not perfect. You know what? All these people that we have monuments to, that doesn't mean that they were perfect.
Absolutely.
They were human. Every human has flaws, and we can go back and find their flaws, but that's not really what this is about. And you understand that. You understand that the globalist agenda is to erase our borders. It's to alter our economy, to put it under their control. It's to subvert our laws, and it's to erase our culture and our history, good and bad. And we cannot allow that to happen.
Abort the babies, abort the family.
Yes.
Abort civility, abort Christianity, abort civilization. Everything
That's right.
about them is destruction, everything. Look, the monuments. I was born in Washington in 1965, but my family lived in Virginia. You know, the schools were segregated. So my mother, when she was pregnant, to make certain that I could get into a public school, had me birthed in Washington, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm saying that because Northern Virginia and Virginia in general has more Confederate memorials and monuments than any place in the country. I grew up in Alexandria. In fact, I grew up in a place called Gum Springs. Gum Springs is land that belonged in Mount Vernon. It was George Washington's plantation. Okay. I grew up with the Confederate memorials. I'm used to them. They don't bother me. It's the people who don't learn the lessons of the Civil War, who
yes.
don't learn how to treat one another, that's the problem. Leave the monuments. In fact, put up new ones. In fact, you know what monument I want to see built? I want to see a monument to to Alex Jones. Because he's trying
go.
To save this country.
And that would enrage the left, wouldn't it?
Who cares?
Who cares? That's right, yeah.
You tell me, where is the left for Flint? Where is the left for Baltimore? Where is the left for New Orleans? Where is the left for West Virginia and the flyover country? Where has this so-called left been? They're trying to put men in women's restrooms. They're trying to destroy God. They want men and women to hate each other. They want boys to grow up to be princesses and girls to grow up to be kings. They're insane. I'm completely against them.
Yes, yes. And I think that's a very important thing, too. You know, when we look at this, they're even criticizing Dr. Martin Luther King, because, of course, if you look at what the Southern Poverty Law Center is doing, they're taking organizations, Christian organizations like Family Research Center and others, and saying they're hate groups because they support traditional marriage. Well, Martin Luther King, as a Christian pastor, supported traditional marriage. So therefore, he is somebody who is a hate preacher that needs to be eradicated and erased, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center, by extension. They would do that. Now, I think they're going to be reluctant to do that because he's such an icon in other areas. But that's the point, because he did a lot of good things. Even if they disagree with him on that issue, you don't throw away everything that he did in his life. And that's what they're doing now to Thomas Jefferson, to George Washington. This isn't just about the Civil War. This isn't about trying to start another Civil War. I tweeted out, you know, we're coming up in October to the 100th anniversary of the Russian Revolution,
mm-hmm.
October 1917. Are we going to have, instead of a Bolshevik revolution, are we going to have a bullshit revolution that's created by George Soros based on this phony, taking people away from the real problems that need to be solved?
Well, that's what they want. That's what they staged in Charlottesville. You know, I'm a graduate of the University of Virginia. I got my master's there. I went to UVA twice.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know there were Confederate memorials in Charlottesville, and I lived there for 3 years to show you how much attention was paid to it.
Mm-hmm.
Terry McAuliffe is corrupt. As you know, he was Hillary Clinton's campaign manager back in 2008. By the way, he and I share birthdays. Terry McCullough's wife was the one that gave the money to Comey. Comey's
yes.
wife. So he's
That's right.
This is an attack on Trump, and by extension, it's an attack on America. It's an attack on our electoral process. It's outrageous. And mm-hmm. I'm sick. In fact, you know, I'm losing friends in Facebook and other places. I don't want to be friends to black people that can't think. Okay, I'm sick of it. And I want.
And now they're seeing Nazis everywhere. And it's just like the story that we reported earlier, where there was a guy that had his hair cut very short on the side, long on the top. My son has his hair cut that way. And it isn't because he idolizes anybody that is like that. Neither did this guy. He didn't have any tattoos or any marks that indicated that he was a Nazi. But a guy runs up to him and says, "You're a Nazi," and tries to stab him in the face with a knife. And he deflected it, and he wound up with stitches in his hand deflecting that knife. That's the insanity that they're creating, this reactionary hatred that is being fomented on the left, calling everybody Nazis. We had the commentator on MSNBC saying, well, there's still Nazis in the White House. There's not Nazis in the White House.
Look, David, first and foremost, I saw the man throw hot coffee on Alex Jones.
Yes, yeah.
And I wish Alex had beat him down. But, you know, they would have put a case on Alex and used that. And that he should be identified if someone knows who he is. And he should be charged. And he should get mental help. You don't throw hot coffee on people. You know, I grew up desegregating schools in Virginia. You don't have the right to just go around and assault people if you don't like them or you don't like the way that they think about you. You have the right to self-defense, but you do not have the right to incivility. Now, mm-hmm. as far as Nazis go, and as far as the left goes, Hitler was into National Socialism. He's a leftist. Okay, what are they talking about? Do they even get the historical process that Hitler was into this socialist movement? So
he was a national socialist as opposed to an international socialist, which is what Stalin was. And it's a very small distinction with no difference.
Right, no real difference. Ernst Thälmann, who was the head of the Communist Party, he and Hitler were right.
Yeah. We got to take a break. We're going to be right back. We're talking to Dr. Randy Short. And if you want to follow him on Twitter, you can find him at Randy Short. Stay with us. We're going to be right back. David Knight, we're talking to Dr. Randy Short, and we're talking about the stupidity, about the misdirection, about the provocations of what's going on with the monuments. And of course, he lives in Washington, D.C. He grew up in that area. As a black man, he said it didn't bother him to see these Confederate memorials. And of course, they're all over the place because the capital of the Confederacy, Richmond, was only 100 miles from Washington, D.C. And so pretty much most of the Civil War happened in that small area. There were a lot of battles out west that didn't last very long, but there are a lot of monuments to that. There are a lot of monuments to people who, loved ones who passed away, people who were fighting for secession, not to keep slavery. I had, and we'll talk to Dr. Short about this, I had an ancestor who was in the Civil War. But before we get back to that, I just want to remind you of what funds this operation, what allows us to start new programs like Real News that begins today. And that is the products that we sell at InfoWarsStore.com. We have some specials up right now. We call it the BuzzFeed Mega Specials because BuzzFeed thought they had us. They went out and they bought a bunch of products. They took them to a lab to have them tested, and the lab said, yeah, they're good stuff. It's not junk. And so Alex put a whole bunch of these on sale at $17.76. So we got things like BrainForce Plus, $17.76. That's 55% off. Survival Shield X2, that's 55% off at $17.76. Secret 12, that's our B12 supplement, that's 55% off at $17.76. Even things like Knockout, which is very essential for our Zero Dark 30 crew here, getting up early in the morning to reset our clock for this new program. Knockout is a all-natural sleep aid, has melatonin, L-tryptophan, a lot of different ingredients. That's 50% off at InfoWarsStore.com. And also, for a limited time, free shipping at InfoWarsStore.com. Also, the new Super Blue fluoride-free mouthwash for a one-time low price of $17.76 as an introductory offer. We've had the toothpaste, and that is now 66% off at $9.95. This is a mouthwash that is fluoride-free. Our toothpaste is fluoride-free. It has iodine. It has nano silver in it. You're not going to find any other toothpaste that I know of that has silver in it to fight bacteria in your mouth, to fight gum disease that can lead to very serious heart disease. So take a look at the products that we sell at InfoWarsStore.com. We appreciate your support. That's what makes broadcasts like this possible. Now, Dr. Short, as I pointed out, I had my great-grandfather fought in the Civil War. He didn't own any slaves. He was not fighting to keep slavery. He was fighting because there were people who were invading where he lived. And there was so many people that died. And when we look at the number, the casualty figures that we were given from the Civil War that came from the federal government, you know, they said there was 300,000 people died on each side. And of course, that's a little bit suspicious that the same number, exact same number would die on both sides. But if we go with their numbers, and if we normalize that to the population, we're looking at about 20 to 25 million people today with the size that America is. That was a massive disruption, to say the least. Of every family was touched by that one way or the other, especially in the smaller population of the South. That's one of the reasons I think there's so many different memorials. That's one of the reasons why there's memorials, Confederate memorials, out in California in cemeteries, and now they're taking those out. It's amazing to me when we look at this, how we've seen the KKK co-opt things like the Christian cross, and now we're seeing the left co-opt racism. And I'm very concerned about that because they're crying wolf. There's real racism out there, but they're crying wolf so much that it's, I think, taking the power out of that word. They're basically using it like the F word. That's the way these people use it.
Well, they're also using it the same way that some people used to use anti-Semitism and how feminists say sexist. Everything is sexist.
Yes.
The point that women don't get the protection that they need from these monsters who hurt women. So I'm in agreement with you there. What gets me and what eats me, I have ancestry. In fact, I just tweeted you some information on my cousin. John C. Breckinridge, who was Secretary of War for the Confederacy, is an ancestor in my family, okay, who was also Vice President of the United States and ran against Lincoln and came in second place. That's history. I was told this by my cousin. You know, you listen, you hear these stories, and I went to the Capitol, and thank God there was a statue there. I walked by it, and it looked just like her. And so, look, I'm mixed. We're all mixed. I'm black, but I'm mixed. I've done the DNA. I'm Danish. I'm German. I'm English. I'm Scotch. Okay. And I'm happily South African and Nigerian and Hausa. I'm happy with who I am.
That's right.
There are a lot of people who aren't happy with who they are on all sides. And this is where the president's correct. It's the malcontents that create the confusion. One of them is David Dukes, who I call Chico. I think David Dukes is mixed. He's changed his skin color. He's changed his nose. He's had prosthetic surgery on his face. He's dyed his hair. What does he have to hide? If you're truly white, then be who you are. If you're not really all white, why are you pushing this stuff? In fact, he should, and I have a thing up on Twitter, that he should take a DNA test. In fact, we all should take one. We should know who we really are. One of the beauties, thank God there was a statue in the basement of the Capitol for me to see what an ancestor looked like. You know, the gentleman who was one of the commanders of Pearl Harbor, my grandfather claims that we're family. One part of the family was able to pass for white. They could go into the Navy. And his side of the family that was black went to the Merchant Marine. I thought my grandfather was being silly until I saw a picture of Commander Short from Pearl Harbor. Looks like a white version of my black grandfather. This is part of the history. If we're going to keep the monuments, let's tell the whole story. I worked at the National Park Service. They wouldn't be honest about the fact that Thomas Jefferson had black children. I grew up in Gum Springs. George Washington had black children, the Syphaxes, the Curtises, the Parkers. I grew up with people who are George Washington's children or great-great-grandchildren at school. And our racist teachers were telling us that George Washington was sterile. We'll move a lot further, a lot faster owning our lineages and our history, good and bad. We don't need to whitewash it. We don't need to make Thomas Jefferson perfect.
That's right. And what we need to do is we need to take what he gave us and what the founders gave us, which was the best form of government, to put us out here as individuals. Now, you know, they had the section that they struck out that he had written in there about slavery and how that had, they needed to do something about that, how the British had created that system of slavery. But the bottom line is that we need to move beyond that. We need to pick up the best part of what they have given us. You know, eat the meat and throw out the bones, and let's use that as something that we can all unify on and build upon, because there's some wonderful stuff that's at the foundation of our country, but they want to tear that down. And the way they do that is to divide us by race, to divide us by sex, to divide us by all these other labels that they put out there. And I think that's what we need to guard against.
You're exactly right. And it's not just people like David Dukes or Don Black, who also, they always, these white supremacists, whatever they call themselves, are always look like, to me, family members. I have blondes in my family. David Dukes isn't blonde, neither is Don Black. And nor was really, what's a guy, William Pierce, that William Luther Pierce, who has all these books, Turner's Diary and The Hunter, about mass killing people. These folks are crazy. But you know what? They've got companion race pimps on the other side. You've got people in the Congressional Black Caucus who are following this alcoholic named Nancy Pelosi, who did nothing in 8 years with the black president, weren't doing anything before Obama got in. And now they're all talking. You would think that Donald Trump was the originator of slavery, Nazism, everything evil, and just one man. He's got an ego, but trust me, Donald couldn't do all this stuff himself. It was before he became president. Defending anything. I don't like about what happened, but you know what? Donald Trump, to his credit, that no one's acknowledging, has been more outspoken, even in a clumsy way, around racism and social injustice than any American president. In particular, he's been more outspoken in just a few months than Obama, who said and did nothing around the race issue until he was forced internationally in every other way to deal with Trayvon Martin, Baltimore, or Ferguson.
He fomented it. Absolutely fomented it. You know, let's we were talking before, you know, let's come together on the principles of America, on the principles of individual liberty. That's where we need to be coming now. And that's what we need to do, is to solve the problems, the economic problems that we all have, that we all face. And Dr. Short, you're a Christian. You know what the Bible says. God made us all of one blood. We all come from Adam. We all come from Noah. Let's get past this. It's not a significant thing that we need to focus on now at this point in time any more than the fact that one person's got blonde hair, another person's got red hair. It's like, so what? We're all humans. Let's join this common humanity and let's work together to make all of our lives better on the principles of individual liberty. I think that's where we need to come, and I think you would agree with me on that.
I would. And for the people who are screaming, and I'm telling you, as an African-American, one thing we've learned, the people...
Hang on, we're out of time. I'm sorry. We've got a hard break here.
In Texas, it's David Knight.
All right, it's Real News. I'm David Knight, and we're talking to Dr. Randy Short. We had to go to a quick break here, crept up on us, and I want to give Dr. Short a chance to finish what he was saying here. We've had, and let me throw this out to you, Dr. Short. We had this article about a former Dallas councilwoman who is black, and she called the people who want to remove the Confederate statue, she called them cowards. Her name is Sandra Crenshaw. She told a CBS reporter, "I'm not intimidated by Robert E. Lee's statue. I'm not intimidated by it. It doesn't scare me. Some people think that by taking a statue down, that's going to erase racism, and it isn't." And as we pointed out, as you and I were saying, let's not create a false sense of racism. Let's not cry wolf when there isn't any racism, but let's work together to make sure that we're going to make this country a better place. That's what the elites, that's what George Soros does not want to see happen. That's why they're doing this. As a matter of fact, when we look at what happened in Minneapolis, we had Philando Castile, who was doing everything. He had a carry permit. He was killed by a white cop. And then we had, just recently, we had a Somalian cop, a black cop, kill a white Australian woman. I think the key thing that came out of that was to see the family of those two victims marching together to say, we need to change the way the police are trained. We need to come together to solve this problem. This isn't, you know, when you got a white cop shooting a black man and you got a black cop shooting a white woman, let's understand what the rules are here. Let's make this better for everybody instead of making it something simply about race.
Dave, I agree, but the policeman that shot the Australian woman was a Somali. Because he's brown, right. Not an African American.
I understand. Yeah, they're gonna make it about skin color, aren't they?
Just because Obama's brown doesn't make him an African American, nor does it make that birth certificate legitimate. Yes, I said it. And the gentleman that shot Orlando Castillo was a Latino. It's not fair to blame white people for what other people do. So I want to correct. It was not a white officer, and I get angry.
Right.
You do not lie on people. You don't get justice cast in aspersion where white people have done the right thing. The white officer did not shoot Orlando Castillo. So I have to speak up for him. If you believe in justice,
you
want it for everybody, not just for me.
That's right. But what I'm saying is that regardless of whether they're white or Hispanic or African-American or black from Somali, it takes us away from what the core issue is, which is the way the police are being trained to shoot first. We've seen this. We had an experienced police instructor in New Mexico who had taught at the police academy, the state police academy, for a very long time. He said, I'm not doing this anymore. You've changed the curriculum to a shoot first curriculum, and I'm not teaching that to these people. So we have to understand that regardless of the color or the background or the nationality of the officer or the person who is shot, that we need to make sure that we are changing these rules, and we need to all come together to make that happen. When they separate us by nationality or by skin color, they do that so that we don't get the problem solved. Whether it's an economic problem or whether it's an excessive use of force problem, the problems don't get solved. And that's why they do it. That's why they pit one group against the other, so that we won't solve the problem, so that we won't solve what they're doing to us.
Amen. Amen. Look at what Soros did in the Ukraine with the Donbass Basin Russians versus Ukrainians. They want to do that here.
Yes.
They want to do that here. One of the things I wanted to say was that I love Melania Trump. She's classy. She has awesome clothing. She's a great mother. And she's a woman of courage.
All right. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Short. And if people want to follow you, they can follow you at Randy Short. Thank you so much, Dr. Short, historian and professor of history. Thank you for your perspective on that. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're going to go back to our callers. If you want to call in, 888-201-2244.
Making sense common again. Your host, David Knight.
Welcome back to Real News. I'm David Knight. This is our inaugural broadcast here on August 21st, 2017, Eclipse Day. And of course, we have millions of Americans, some 12 million Americans in a 70-mile-wide swath across the country are going to see a total eclipse today. And the question is, are we going to have Google and other corporate masters, are they going to eclipse the freedom that we have enjoyed through the internet, through the ability to bypass the monopoly that the mainstream media has had in the past on news? When we just had three networks and maybe PBS, like all government outlets, as we had with the CIA called it Operation Mockingbird, an appropriate name. They can be very very descriptive of their operations. Can we get past that? You know, it was a major turning point for talk radio when the Fairness Doctrine was overturned. That allowed Rush Limbaugh and other talk show host to gain popularity. And of course, we've seen the same thing happen on YouTube. YouTube is owned by conservative, by libertarian media. And so now they're moving to shut that down. And we have a story up on Infowars.com. Apple joins Google and Facebook to embrace Soros-funded Southern Poverty Law Center to censor hate speech. And of course, they have a algorithm that they're going to be using to impose that censorship, that labeling. And that's an article by Dr. Jerome Corsi, who's going to be joining us in this hour. We'll talk to him about that article when he joins us. I want to go back to our phone calls right now. We've had a couple of people who've been holding for a while. And if you want to call into the show, that number is 888-201-2244. Let's go to Julian in Texas. Julian, you were talking before we were joined by Dr. Short. And, okay, Julian is gone. Let's go to Joshua in Ohio. Sorry about that, Julian. Let's go to Joshua in Ohio. Go ahead, Joshua.
Yeah, hey, David. Congratulations on the new show.
Thank you.
Big fan. You're razor sharp, buddy. So we're looking forward to listening to you every morning. But, yeah, we got a little town here where I'm from here in Southwest Ohio. It's called Franklin, and it's only like 12,000 people. They had this little tiny commemorative plaque, basically, that was in the ground to, you know, for people to remember Dixie Highway. So they removed it in the middle of the night, and I guess the police, the fire chief, decided with a couple other people to kind of do it on his own because they were talking about coming and protesting. You know, all the I think it was Black Lives Matter, and basically they didn't even show up because the city of Franklin. I mean, these people, they got mad. And they were out there protesting, and there's a city council meeting today, and they may put it back. So we may have a city here putting one back.
Well, that's, you know, it's kind of crazy, isn't it, that they would do this stuff under cover of night? And that's the way that our government is running at every level, isn't it? They don't tell us what they're going to do. They make these decisions without any input from the public, without the majority making decision, without anybody thinking about why this is there. I mean, one of the things that really concerns me that I think is very outrageous is what's happening in California, where they're removing grave markers. And these are people, clearly, you know, California was not part of the Confederacy, but they had people who had fought in the Civil War. They moved to California, they died, and people put up that memorial there in the cemetery. And they took it upon themselves to remove cemetery markers. I mean, this is the kind of insanity and really fomenting kind of irrational hatred that I think is very disturbing. But, of course, it's all coming from the guy who gave us color revolutions throughout Eastern Europe, and now they're trying to create a color revolution here. What they've been able to do in Europe is to divide people by economic classes. Here in America, people don't really see that. They have always felt that they had upward mobility. They didn't feel this rigid class structure according to economic lines like they dead in Europe. So that couldn't be exploited by the people who want to overthrow society. So what they did was they went to something that they people do feel a division about, and that's racism.
Yeah.
And so that's what they're basing this all on.
Yeah, they're just playing everybody off against each other. I mean, it's one giant propaganda operation. I mean, I watched Lester Holt's NBC News the other day after Donald Trump gave his, you know, his crazy press conference where he actually said, hey, there's blame on both sides. I mean, obviously there is. So, of course, you know, they all freaked out about it. But, I mean, I watched NBC, and in my opinion, NBC is one of the most deceptive news organizations out there. But anyway, Lester Hall gets on there, and I swear the whole thing, it sounded like, this is what it sounded like. Donald Trump, KKK, white supremacist, white nationalist, Donald Trump, Trump supporters. And then they just show, you know, KKK people and, you know, white supremacists and swastikas, and then they'd say, white supremacist Donald Trump, KKK Nazi. You know, I mean, that was the whole show. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was all it was. And, I mean, what are people supposed to think? I mean, they're doing this stuff on purpose. And that's why, why InfoWars is so great, because you guys, you know, like, I like Sean Hannity and, you know, some of these other guys and Levin, but they just don't go far enough. They act like this isn't, you know, I mean, it's obvious. There's an agenda here. I mean, it's every channel. It's in the movies. It's in, you know, the commercials. It's in the TV shows. I mean,
that's
it's in everything. It's ridiculous.
Right. It's in the schools. The schools the schools have been teaching that for a very long time. But Trump would say that. Why would Trump say that there's blame to go on both sides. It's because he knows what happened throughout the campaign. Look at every time he would have a rally, a political rally. These people would show up and they would key the cars. They would attack people violently. It happened in Chicago. And they said, right. You shouldn't have even come to Chicago. You have no right to be here in Chicago. And it's like, I do. And other people will have a political rally. They go to the through the process of getting a permit from the government, which, frankly, as somebody who supports free speech, I don't think you should have a permit. But they're trying to do this in an orderly way. And they still have these violent people who don't show who show up and they don't have a permit. It's not their rally. And they show up and start attacking people. That's why Donald Trump said that. He's seen it throughout the entire campaign.
Remember Donald Trump's first statement he come out, which his statement was fine. I mean, he's trying to figure out the facts. And, you know, he said what he said. And he condemned, you know, bigotry and hatred and all that. Well, let's remember when 12 Dallas police officers were shot.
That's right.
By a
That's
man
right.
who said, specifically, I want to kill white people. I want to kill white cops. I'm upset about Black Lives Matter. The police chief of Dallas came out and said that. It took Obama the day later to come out and say something about it. And when he did, what did he say? He said, we shouldn't jump to conclusions and we just can't untangle a motive. And this is after the police chief come out and said, you know, this guy wanted to kill white people. So, you know, where was the outcry of that? And I think, you know, we need to start coming up with some new ideas. Maybe we should, you know, find some monuments of Margaret Sanger and some plaques and awards and demand that her racism and bigotry be removed from history. And let's give the mainstream media a little conundrum to think about, you know, and let's watch them scramble on that one.
That's right. You know, you're talking about that. I mentioned that earlier in the program about the fact that when we went to that rally for Planned Parenthood, and we had the sign, and I've got it right here.
They blocked your guys' signs. That's
exactly, about black genocide, and black lives do matter. And so why are you aborting so many black babies? And as Margaret Sanger, who did that as eugenics program, well, when we had this sign, we had people show up to protest us. Here, I'll put this a little bit closer to me. We had people show up to protest us with black signs that said absolutely nothing, just to cover our signs. And to me, that was a physical example.
Yeah.
Literal example of what they want to do everywhere. They just want to censor speech. They want to shut down the argument. They don't want to have a discussion. They don't want to improve things. They don't want people, just as I was talking to Dr. Short recently in this last segment, they don't want people to come together and solve our economic problems, to get more individual liberty, to do anything. They just want to foment division, to foment racism. And that's the thing that is so concerning about all this. And that's their tactic.
That's what people, they have to be screaming from the rooftops. And I know you guys are. I'm just saying, you know, people, you know, out there, they got to know that that's the agenda. I mean, there's a huge storm bubbling underneath the surface right now, and it's just, you know, it's scary, and it's dangerous. And, you know, I got little kids, man, and I'm scared for the world that they might grow up in.
I agree with you. Thank you so much, Joshua. Thank you for joining us on our first day. Stay with us when we come back. We've got other callers online. If you want to call in, it's 888-201-2244. And we'll have Dr. Jerome Corsi joining us at the bottom of the hour. To Real News. I'm David Knight, and we're going to take some phone calls here real quickly. An update on the attack in Marseille, France. The police say they are ruling out terror in this van. Now, it was a van that hit multiple bus stops. At least one person died, but what they're saying is the person had psychological problems, and they're ruling out terrorism in that particular attack. It was deliberate, but they're ruling out terrorism. Also, on Infowars.com, we have a story about Ron Paul predicting perhaps a 50% stock market plunge. He says it's conceivable, but if it happens, it's not going to be President Trump's fault. He understands that it's man-made, as he points out. He says if the market crashes tomorrow and we have a Great Depression, he didn't do it in 6 months. It took more like 6 or 10 years to create all these problems that we're facing. And as Dr. Paul understands, those problems were created by the Federal Reserve. Also, in the search throughout Europe for the person who is at large based on the Barcelona terror attack, hitting people with a van, a man has been reported shot west of Barcelona by police who are hunting that suspect. And, of course, earlier today, as we pointed out, the police were extending the hunt for the Barcelona attack suspect, and news outlets like NPR said, we still not only don't know where he is, but we don't know his motive, even though they found a terror cell there, and they know that it is radical Islamic terror. They must be getting their news feed from H.R. McMaster. I want to go back to our phone calls right now. Let's go to Nick in Michigan. Nick, thank you for joining us. Nick, are you there? Okay, let's go to Casey in Oklahoma. Casey, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am. How are you doing this morning?
Doing good. Thank you for joining us.
Good. It's so good to hear you on the air, man.
Well, thank you. It's good to be on.
More than you guys already are. What I want to talk about is the toxicity of the left, of how they're trying to foment everything they can to stir up dissension, to cause everybody to be at each other's throats. And what just gets me is how the average American is so dumbed down and so blind. There's so many statists out there that just accept this as status quo. If I didn't get my way, I should throw a fit and make everybody else miserable around me. And it's disturbing to the point that you can't even hold a conversation with these people. Because they're so devoid of any intelligence, of anything other than, if I didn't get what I want, I'm going to throw a fit. Mm-hmm. And another thing, what gets me is that how come Trump, I know he's got a lot on his plate. I know they're sequestering him off. They're trying to keep people from him. Why isn't he going after these people? Why isn't he going out and openly speaking even more about the lamestream media, the prostitute media that's doing everything they can to make him look as dumb and as ignorant and as ineffectual as possible? You know, it's just,
well, you know, I think that press conference that he had where he was universally criticized by the mainstream media, and pull up that clip. I think it's number one, where you can see General Kelly, who is the White House chief of staff. He looked like he was having a fit. He's looking down. He's got his arms crossed. He was so angry about that. And yet Donald Trump was saying, there he is right there in that picture. People have seen that. Absolutely amazing. The body language there. This guy is not a Trump supporter. He does not understand or have any appreciation for what happened throughout the campaign for President Trump to say, look, there are bad people on both sides. He had seen it, as I pointed out before, he had seen it with every one of his rallies being attacked by people, violently attacked, the supporters who showed up just for a political rally, and they were violently attacked by the left. That's why he said that. It was something that people needed to hear. It's something that America agreed with Donald Trump on, even if the establishment press, the establishment political people did not agree with him, and even if his own cabinet didn't agree with him. It was something that really needed to be said. And I think the key thing that we need to work at as a people, we need to support Trump, and we need to keep him on his agenda, because he's surrounded himself, and he's now surrounded by people who I think didn't even vote for him. And as Tucker Carlson said, they'd be perfectly fine in a Hillary Clinton administration. We need to speak up in support of Trump and in support, most importantly, of his agenda. As Lee Stranahan pointed out last week when we saw the back and forth about Bannon, he said, look, in 10 years, there isn't going to be a President Trump. Are we going to have a movement that is going to continue after President Trump? When you look at what happened with Reagan, yes, there were some changes that happened there politically. But after Reagan left, the tax cuts went very quickly. They were erased by his successor, George H.W. Bush. And where did the country go? Did it go towards freedom, or did it go towards even more statism under two Bushes, a Clinton and an Obama? It went towards more statism. So we have to have a broad movement. Let's use the power that we have with the presidency, but let's understand that all of our problems cannot be solved by one person and even two presidential administrations. We have to take that power back at the local level. We have to have a broader movement. That's why I think it's a good thing that Bannon is no longer in the White House. Maybe he can help to create that movement. Maybe he can help Trump with his agenda even more on the outside than he could if he was under a chain of command in the White House. What do you think?
I think you hit the nail on the head, and I think also it's very disturbing, though, when you have Jay Johnson openly coming out in supporting of Mattis and McMaster's and the other individual there. That's very disturbing, because these people are establishment. They only have their own personal agendas, especially when he has the former head of Homeland Security in there as in his cabinet. That's really disturbing. I understand he's got to do some things. He's got to go along, get along. But we put Trump in there because of his his brazenness, because his non-PC stance, because he spoke his mind, and he's what you see is what you get. You got all these other status politicians, these established politicians that will get in there and say whatever they can to get into office. And then when they get in there, they grant themselves title of nobility. They'll push these laws through that makes them exempt. They push this insurance on us that makes us peasants. It gives us these peasants this little pittance of an insurance policy and tell us that they're doing us something good when they're not. We need more fire. We need more direct assault on these individuals that are coming for us. That is a direct assault on Christianity, on the family, on aborting these children, on the disruption of the family, of getting the fathers out of the houses, and totally making people dependent on the state.
And I agree, absolutely.
The older I get, the more these things are make sense to me. I would listen to the old folks talk about how you need to get out there and work. You need to get out there and earn a living. You take care of your family. Don't be on welfare. If you can go out and work, go out and work. When I was a young man, that bothered me because I was lazy. I'm 45 years old now. I've got three boys, and I'm not raising victims. I'm raising men to stand up for what they believe in. If they stand by themselves, it doesn't matter. Stand up for what you believe in, and if they take you out, they take you out. And that's what we need to do. We need to support Trump 100%, but we need more of a fire from him. And I understand, like I said, he can only do so much. He's one man, but 60 plus million people elected him. And this small percentage wants to act like they're the majority and want to stand out and say, Trump's not what America's about. No, Trump is what America's about. And if they try to take him out, I'm not for violence. I'm not trying to say we need to go out, but if they take Trump out, how many of us own guns and weapons that will stand up to defend what we voted for, whether we have to take it to the streets or not? Because yes. No tyrant in any part of
the... Well, I think the key thing, and we're about out of time, Casey, and I want to underscore what you said. The key thing is to take responsibility for your life, not to look to somebody else in government to take care of you, and to pass that on to your children. People like you, Casey, are the ones that are going to take this country back by taking responsibility for your own lives and pushing for individual liberty. Thank you for joining us. Stay with us. We're going to be right back with Dr. Jerome Corsi.
Let's make government small enough to fit in the Constitution. It's The Real News with your host, David Knight.
All right, thank you for joining us. I'm David Knight, and this is the first broadcast of Real News. And we really appreciate your support because that's what's made it possible for us to add the additional personnel that come in here at O-Dark 30 to start this early morning program here in Texas. It airs at 9 o'clock Eastern, and it airs at 6 a.m. on the West Coast, but it's still pretty early for us to get here. But we appreciate your standing with us, standing behind us, and we have put a lot of our products now on sale because this should be a win-win situation. We want to offer savings to you, and part of the things that we have done with this is to put together a BuzzFeed mega special, as BuzzFeed tried to criticize InfoWars, and it kind of backfired on them because they found out that these products, when they took them to a lab, were very good quality products. So Alex put together a BuzzFeed mega special, including free shipping at InfoWarsStore.com and massive discounts, repricing things down to $17.76. So that works out to a 55% discount off of BrainForce Plus, a 55% discount off of Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine, 55% discount off of Secret 12, our B12 formula, so that you can get B12 without taking painful injections. We also have 66% off Silver Bullet at $9.95. Knockout, 50% off. All these different products you can find, including free shipping at InfoWarsStore.com. And we also have a special on our new mouthwash, our fluoride-free mouthwash, Super Blue fluoride-free mouthwash at a one-time low price introductory of $17.76. And again, free shipping for everything at InfoWarsStore.com. We really appreciate you standing with us and helping us to expand this in the face of the onslaught against fake media. We're going to go back to our callers here in just a moment. A couple of news items that are out. We've got killer robots are back in the news, and we've talked in the past to Dr. Noel Sharkey and others Hugo de Garis talking about the Ardalek War, the coming concerns about artificial intelligence. But, of course, these are the killer robots that they're talking about having an autonomous ability to select their targets and to execute that. And this is a new kind of arms race. We've had nuclear, biological, chemical, and now we're going to have killer robots. And this is something that is coming. We have 116 experts, however, are calling for a ban on the use of AI in managing weaponry. Elon Musk is the latest one to headline these articles, but we've had a lot of high-profile individuals calling for this. It is something that is very concerning. We've got, interestingly enough, when we look at the list of people, we've got Google's DeepMind co-founder saying we need to be careful about this. And yet at the same time, it was Google that went out and bought all of the promising robotics companies like Boston Dynamics and others who were involved in the DARPA contest for creating the very same thing. So they work both sides of the issue here, don't they? And that's what we continue to see. And another reminder, we've got an article here about Monsanto. And the Politico article says that Monsanto is attempting to take down the agency that links its weed killer, glyphosate, or Roundup, to cancer. And so now they're attacking the credibility of the study. They're attacking the agency that released that study. And that's the way that this rolls. Even if, I got to say, that even if Monsanto's Roundup has no negative health effects, what they are doing with this is they're using it to establish a monopoly on seeds, on food. And what they do is they put this in the ground, and once they do, nothing except their Roundup-ready crops will work. And you have to buy those seeds from them every year. They have driven farmers in the third world, especially India, into bankruptcy and into suicide because of that business model. It's a very dangerous business model for our food supply, even if it doesn't have any negative effects. And quite frankly, when they look at this, they say at the heart of this is a report that looks at whether or not it caused lymphoma. And this is something that's been going on for decades, and it's something that they were running reports on this 30 years ago. And I had a dog that used to get out and eat grass. He'd hop the fence, and he ate grass like no dog I've ever seen before. And, of course, he would get on the neighbors' lawns after they'd had chemicals sprayed on it, and they put the signs up. He didn't pay any attention to the signs. He didn't pay attention to us or the fence. And he wound up with lymphoma. At the same time, we were seeing farmers start to come down with this at the very beginning of this. So I'm not convinced that it's harmless. If you want to protect yourself from that, again, we sell water filters that filter that out. They filter out the chemicals that they've discovered were dumped in the ground in California. When I heard that report, I went through its 1, 2, 3, I can't remember the chemical name now, but it was a chemical. I looked it up in our water filters. I saw, yeah, there it is. It takes out 99.4% of it. Don't wait until you find out, somebody tells you in a report that, hey, there's lead in your water, or hey, there's an industrial toxin in the water, or we're paying to have fluoride dumped in our water. You know they're doing that. You don't know these other things that are there, but you can take all that out, and you can take responsibility for yourself. Get yourself a water filter, and again, we got free shipping at the website. I don't know if those are on sale or not, but there is certainly a savings to be had with free shipping. I want to go back to our callers right now. Let's go back to Brett in Missouri. You wanted to talk about the First Amendment. Go ahead, Brett. Hello, Brett. Are you there? I think we maybe lost Brett. Let's go to Dwayne in Wisconsin. Oh, hey. Brett, are you there? Hey.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good. Go, Brett.
Yeah, you know, I think all this stuff in Charlottesville and what we see going on right now is just a ploy by the elite to get us to be talking about neo-Nazis. And, you know, it's their way to try to get you to side with neo-Nazis when that's not what we're doing. We're just standing up for the First Amendment. And, you know, I see it as a pinata that the elite are dangling down in front of the social justice warriors and the liberals to get their sticks out and knock it open and make it rain down government control over speech and what they subjectively define as hate speech.
Yes, yes. And that's exactly what we're going to talk to Dr. Corsi about when he joins us. He's got an article about exactly that, what Google and Facebook are doing. They're labeling people. They're using Southern Poverty Law Center to label people. Groups like the Family Research Council, groups like Focus on the Family, because they're Christian groups that support traditional marriage, they call them hate groups. And so it's very easy for them to label people as hate, and that gives them an excuse to shut down any speech that they don't agree with. And as I quoted earlier, I had a quote from the mayor of Alexandria, Virginia. She said, well, we all support free speech. Yes, yes, just like we all support the Second Amendment, except when they don't. And she said, but we also want to have freedom from fear. Let me tell you something. If they can get you afraid enough that you give up your freedom for safety, you're never going to be safe. As I said before, liberty is always dangerous, but it's the safest thing we've got. Thank you, Brett. I've got Dr. Corsi on the line joining us, and I want to talk to him about that very thing right now. Joining us now is our Washington correspondent, Dr. Jerome Corsi. And Dr. Corsi, you've got an article today on InfoWars. Apple joins Google and Facebook to embrace Soros-funded Southern Poverty Law Center to censor hate speech. Thank you for joining us.
Great to be with you again, David. Thank you very much.
Tell us a little bit about this. And as I pointed out, you've got a list of all these different groups, even Phyllis Schlafly's Eagle Forum, but also Family Research Council. And this labeling that we saw in the past actually was responsible for a terrorist attack on the Family Research Center in Washington, wasn't it?
That's correct. I mean, someone who followed the Southern Poverty Law Center's depiction of this Christian group family research center came in with a gun wanting to kill people and Chick-fil-A sandwiches. They were trying to get up into the past the guard in the lobby. If they could have done that, and they were very close to getting it done, they would have gone upstairs and killed as many people as they could have. I mean, see, the whole thing with the Southern Poverty Law Center is you've got to realize leftist group.
Yeah, what they're doing is they're inciting violence, aren't they? We gotta go to a break, Dr. Corsi. Stay with us. We're going to be right back with Dr. Jerome Corsi. David Knight, and we're talking to our Washington correspondent, Dr. Jerome Corsi. We're going to get back to him in just a moment. Real quickly, I remind you that we have a new product, and we have discounted it out of the box at $17.76. That's Super Blue Fluoride-Free Mouthwash. And this is a new mouthwash that features natural oils and ingredients that have been used since Aboriginal and biblical times to supercharge good oral health and minty fresh breath. Instead of having fluoride, we put the good halogen iodine in it, and just like the toothpaste that we sell, it has nano silver and peppermint oil and xylitol and other things in it to freshen your mouth and to fight gum disease, bacteria in your mouth. Also, our toothpaste is now down to $9.95 at 66% off retail price, and we have a wealth of specials as part of our BuzzFeed Mega Specials, free shipping, and many products at 55% off. And some of those are Brain Force Plus, Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine, Secret 12, our vitamin B12 liquid supplement. We also have DNA Force. Even though it's 20% off, that is a big savings because that is a very expensive premium product to produce. So take a look at the products that we have on sale at BuzzFeed Mega Special and our free shipping along with our new product, Super Blue Fluoride-Free Mouthwash. Let's go back to Dr. Corsi. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Corsi. We were talking about your article about how Google and Facebook are using the Southern Poverty Law Center as a cover, as a beard, to enact censorship, aren't they?
That's right. The whole point is that under pressure from the Antifa and the far left, Google wants to be able to say, well, we're going to get some group that will screen out hate. And they've gone to this Southern Poverty Law Center. Now, the problem with Southern Poverty Law Center is that it itself is a leftist group. And so by being a leftist group, what they're doing is that they're just magnifying the entire pressure that the Southern Poverty Law Center has to say, well, for instance, Christian groups are hate groups, or any groups that are conservative groups are hate groups. And this is the problem. They have a built-in bias in the Southern Poverty Law Center against any conservative groups.
And let's understand, these are the same people that cannot bring themselves to say radical Islamic terrorism and do anything to censor that. But then they pull up groups that they're politically opposed to. They use hate labeling as a beard to enact the censorship of people that they politically oppose. That's fundamentally what's going on here. They got, in your article, you say they have 623 active patriot groups that they've labeled in the U.S., and they've got a list that includes many Tea Party organizations. They've included groups like the Family Research Council, Focus on the Family, Phyllis Schlafly's Eagle Forum, and you quote the editor of National Review calling them up and saying, are you going to look at Occupy as being a hate group? Are you going to look at Antifa being a hate group? No, they're not going to look at those people.
Right, because on the left, any of the groups get passes. They're not considered to be hate groups. They're considered to be perfectly acceptable groups that are not. I'm having a hard time getting it. There we go. In the focus on this, correct. Can you see me now? We're downtown.
I got you. I got you right now. That's good. Let's keep going.
So look, the point is, any groups on the conservative right, including InfoWars, would be considered.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they're going to put us on. Now we've lost this feed altogether. Yeah, we've been on their list, and so has Ben Carson. And I would say that if they're going to call Ben Carson a racist and call him an extremist, somebody as meek and mild as Ben Carson, and he's a rabid hate person, you know that there's something wrong with their agenda. I think we got Dr. Corsi back now. Go ahead, Dr. Corsi.
Well, the whole idea is what you're doing is you're getting a Soros-funded group, the Southern Poverty Law Center, to be the screen, and of course they're going to apply a hard left screen.
Yes.
Anybody that doesn't have their message, that, you know, basically a hard left message, InfoWars, any conservative group, any news agency that isn't, you know, say that, for instance, all these Confederate statues need to come down, anybody who opposes that message is going to be, by definition, considered into hate speech. The Southern Poverty Law Center will tell Google and Facebook and the others to screen them out. So it's really anti-free speech. It's really got a determination that what you're going to do is have it such that only leftist groups are going to be able to be represented in this kind of a media. And that's the problem.
And, of course, we just saw yesterday that Google is talking about the algorithms that it is going to have once it labels individuals or groups as hate organizations, then they're going to algorithmically shut people down. And we have seen Google on YouTube go through a wealth of different individuals. We had Diamond and Silk, a couple of black women who supported Donald Trump. They demonetized them. We had Lee Stranahan's YouTube channel taken down completely. And they've been doing this, isolating people across YouTube. What do you think, Dr. Corsi, about the suggestion that many people have said, and of course it was Steve Bannon who said it before he left the White House, that Google and Facebook should be regulated as natural monopolies, that if they're going to apply that argument to bakers and to photographers saying that they don't have a choice whether or not they're going to do a gay wedding, then certainly YouTube and Facebook do not have the choice as a public marketplace, one that has a natural monopoly. They do not have the ability to shut people out of that marketplace because they disagree with them politically. What do you think about that?
That'd be a positive step. I think what we really need is to have the FTC regulate these groups so the FTC can basically say they're monopolies and we've got to regulate them as monopolies and break them up. I mean, the key point here is that the left is intolerant and it is going to try to take the high ground, say that if you don't agree with the left, then you're engaging in hate speech. They're going to say they won't tolerate hate speech. So Christian sites, conservative sites are hate speech by definition. And This is not the First Amendment. The First Amendment is open to all speech, whereas this Antifa movement wants it only to be politically correct speech. And it's not going to stop it. It's not going to stop it. You know, slavery and Confederate war statues. They're going to say next the founders who wrote the Constitution were slaveholders in large part.
That's right.
And so therefore we need to burn up the Constitution. We need to get rid of the founding documents because they are all racist. Basically, it's an argument against the United States.
And I think there's another thing going on here too, Dr. Corsi, that I've seen working with a third party trying to get into political debates. After we got on the ballot, we had to go through a lot of process that the Republican and Democrat parties never had to go through. They were exempt. They exempted themselves from the process. So you go through a process of getting signatures and so forth. And once you get on there, they would exclude you from the debate. And the way they did it was to turn the debate over to a private entity and say, we are not the ones shutting down your freedom of speech. We're not the ones shutting you out of the debate. It's this private organization over here that is doing it. And so they're doing the same thing now with these corporations, with Google and Facebook. The government, the establishment, the political establishment, the mainstream media, they want censorship, but they know that they can't do censorship through the federal government because of the First Amendment. So what they're going to do is they're going to use these corporate entities and say, well, it's a private business that is shutting you down. And then, of course, Google will say, well, we're not actually censoring you. We're not taking the videos down. We're just demonetizing you. We're just hiding you behind a firewall. We're just making it so people can't find you. They can't comment. They can't like your videos. So we're not, but we're not taking your video down. We're not censoring you. And the thing that allows them to do that is people accusing you of being hateful.
I mean, as soon as you're accused of being a racist, then these private groups want to say you're illegitimate. And that means we can take you down. We don't have to broadcast your message. We don't have to give you any time. And that's the problem. As you see, if you have a political group like Google or Facebook, they can't be held to the First Amendment standards. And if they get censorship like the Southern Poverty Law Center, well, then by definition, it's only a matter of time until you eliminate, and I mean really eliminate, any conservative content. And that's the problem. That's where we're headed. So the remedy for this is to get the Googles and the like broken up through antitrust, through, you know, getting the First Amendment reasserted back into public speech, and get the American people to realize that, you know, the First Amendment tolerates speech that we don't like to hear. And that includes, you know, those who say, well, you know, Confederate war statutes are racist, where you can make an equal argument, they're historical. They're there in order to remind us of the sin that racism was, the sin that slavery was, and to remind us that the country got rid of this great evil. I mean, just because you like Confederate war statutes to stay up does not mean you're in favor of slavery or in favor of racism. And that's where the distortion's going on. And right now, if the far left groups win this argument, you're going to see a push of the United States towards the hard left, which, again, I don't think is going to be acceptable.
I agree, Dr. Corsi. We're out of time. I wish we could continue the discussion. Another part of this is that this is something that is being done, just like we've seen with the bureaucracy. They turn this over to another entity, and we lose our constitutional rights. Thank you for joining us on our first broadcast of Real News. I'm David Knight.